Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Morning from the Neil Prendeville Show. It is 27 minutes to 10 o'clock. The abortion three-day wait is removed. We discussed it in detail yesterday on the programme. And the vote, of course, took place last night. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Now, we will talk about it in just a moment. Let me give people just a heads up as to what's happened. The abortion bill is now heading for the committee stage. There was a pretty decisive Doyle vote splitting government parties last night, in which the Sinn Féin bill united both government and opposition TDs in some respect on what has historically been a very divisive topic. TDs have last night voted to remove the three-day waiting period for those who seek an abortion. With the when the Eighth Amendment was repealed back in 2018, the new legislation stipulated that women who chose to have an abortion in Ireland would be made to wait for 3 days between their GP consultation and the actual procedure or termination itself. That's the background. You were listening yesterday. What did you think?
Yes, I was listening yesterday. There was a lot of various opinions all right on what they were, well, if people thought it was they were for or against the wait time. But personally, there is no medical reason for the wait time, for the 3 day wait period, and that's where I would stand on it. We've been waiting a long time for it to be removed. You know, when the legislation was brought in 2018, it was brought in a very cautious way, adding that wait period just to persuade people a bit more. And like that has been going on for nearly 8 years since. So it's been a long time coming to get that vote.
Okay. You know, they're very strongly held opinions, as we said yesterday, and beliefs on both sides. I was talking to somebody yesterday who said they know of a friend who went across to the UK for an abortion and turned up on time, but there was a delay, a scheduling delay, and they were asked to come back maybe 90 minutes later. Okay, 90 minutes. So they went for lunch, and in that time, the person changed their mind. Isn't that the reason why the 3 days was put in, to accommodate that sort of mind change?
I would say that's one of the few and far between situations where someone has gone out at that time, thought about it and changed their mind. Like at that stage, you have a person who has an unwanted pregnancy and has gone to seek medical advice. They might have been already waiting a couple of days for a doctor's appointment. At that stage, they've already thought about it. Now, it does happen in some cases where people may have thought about it and changed their mind. But other than that, it's really just a limitation on women's rights and their medical reproductive rights to make them wait that long.
Yeah, it's the imposition on the other side. It's the imposition of a delay for a decision which you will already have weighed on heavily before your appointment. There is, and I know this is probably exceptions rather than the rule here, there's also the financial aspect of forcing women to have two appointments rather than one. There could be an associated financial burden on those who don't have it. Now, I know that's probably, not very common, but that's another flavour of what's coming into the argument here.
On top of that as well, like anyone, if you're trying to go to your own GP for a cold or whatever appointment you need, it's hard enough to get a GP appointment as it is. And on top of it, you're taking out time out of work twice when there's no need.
Okay. So you were happy enough that it went through committee stage last night?
I'm very happy that it went through. I think it should have been done earlier. If anything, it should have been done initially a long time ago. Like the legislation was brought in nearly 8 years ago. So I feel like it should have been done a lot earlier than that.
Mm, the Sock Dems had a proposal recently that went further than the Sinn Féin proposal. It had in it the abolition of the three-day waiting period. It also had in it the decriminalisation of medical staff, and it had in it the reform of fatal fetal abnormality rules. That was not considered, and if you like, a watered-down version, just including the abolition of the three-day waiting period, was the one considered and voted on.
Yes, like I can understand why there would be more kind of cautiousness when they are looking into it. Like leaving out the 3 day wait at this stage is kind of more of a slower stage of reform in that area, just to try to get it over the line, I would suppose.
Mm. Now, there are rigid technical limits on the Act, and that proposal, which didn't go through, was to eliminate the threat of criminal sanctions for doctors if they act outside the rigid technical limits of the Act. But doctors are about humanity. And as I stressed yesterday, each case is absolutely individual. Each circumstance is absolutely individual. The mix of criteria that determine where a woman's mind is at and what her decision will she will arrive at, absolutely unique in every case. Is it fair to hold the doctors inside these rigid technical limits?
Well, every doctor has their own kind of case of judgment, in my opinion. Like, they're taught various methods of ethics and what their own personal beliefs are should extend past it. They are kind of stuck to very rigid limitations just due to the fact of the decision that they're making. And I don't think it's fair that there's such, like, we still have the 12-week limit, but you could have someone and they mightn't even know before then.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of puts, not only puts themselves, but it puts the doctors in a very awkward position where they have to say, look, I can't even provide this service for you. And even then, if the doctors are checking, like, the doctors are having to confirm informed consent with the patient before they even can allow them to go ahead with that. And that's almost another assessment on the doctor, which I could understand would kind of implement them and make them, it puts a lot of weight on the doctor as well.
Isn't it, though, the most difficult subject ever for legislators to create and frame laws around? Because a lot of people in this country have a very firm held belief and a religious belief in some cases, and that life begins absolutely and only at conception, and that's life. Other people then are trying to negotiate frameworks and legislation around the fact that, and I'm not being flippant here, it is tantamount to a medical condition until a certain time.
Well, we, based in the country we're in now, we still have a lot of people. Obviously, the Catholic Church still has a heavy influence on a lot of people. Like, at my stage, of the way I would see it is, it's fair enough to say that it's hard to legislate it, but with the way it was originally legislated, it almost infantilizes women. It makes it so that they might have to take 3 days, which is now abolished, thank goodness, but it almost was like a paternalistic approach when they were legislating it, that a woman would need 3 days to think about their decision when they've already gone through such a long stage of thinking about it, finding out that they're pregnant, and arranging the appointment. And you can see how the Catholic belief of a lot of the legislatures and the public as well has gone into the drafting of that legislation as well.
By the way, we're very open, as we should be, to all callers and comments on this subject. We can't talk to everybody at once. If you do want to get in touch, 0818 104 106 is our phone number. You can text us on 0868 104 106, whether you can or cannot come on air. Is what you're saying then the psychological toll of an unexpected or unwanted pregnancy shouldn't be dragged out like this with an extra 3 day mandatory wait?
No, absolutely not. Like, each person is different. We don't know how they're going to react psychologically. For some person, those 3 days might feel like 3 minutes. For some people, that might feel like a decade. And it's unfair for them to drag it on when there's no medical reason to have that wait time.
Okay. So, you know, we're living in a country with resources strained beyond belief as it is. You might have heard us yesterday with children waiting 5 and 6 years for appointments on the public list for special needs or psychiatric treatments or assessments and that kind of thing. Bringing a child into the world, everybody knows, has a huge impact on your life. It can, for some, be an unbearable thought or an unbearable strain, worry for the future. And once again, we have to default to the fact that it's very difficult to legislate for something that's so unique in every particular and separate circumstance.
It is very unique, but on the flip side of it, if you were to have women in such a situation where the 3 day wait, if it might change their mind at that time and they go through with the pregnancy, who knows, they might end up having the child and change their mind again, and that child ends up in the care of state, or ends up they keep the child and they can't look after the child themselves. There's so many issues to it, even though it is quite a difficult topic to legislate on itself. Trying to work around, like, resources that we have at the moment, like, you, I think you had a speaker on yesterday, and there's over a 5 year wait for mental health services for children. There's enough strain as it is. When you add on that wait time and a potential unwanted pregnancy goes ahead, and then that child could go into the state care as well, it adds a burden onto the state as well.
Mm-hmm. I hearken back to the report in 2023 by a female barrister, Marie O'Shea, and the findings in what's called the O'Shea report found logistical and systemic barriers within the Irish abortion system on geographical grounds, on obstruction of care, and on restrictive definitions. In other words, the rigid legislative criteria for post 12-week abortions, which she said left women unable to access domestic care, forcing many to continue travelling abroad for procedures. Data within the review suggesting that some medical practitioners actively obstructed or delayed access for women seeking care. And a huge inequity, really, between several counties reliant on a tiny handful of providers across both primary care and hospitals. Now, none of that really was addressed yesterday, just the abolition of the 3-day waiting period. But you're happy it went through anyway.
Well, it's a step forward, definitely. There's obviously more that needs to be changed, especially the fact that there's a lot of medical practitioners who will refuse to provide the service. While I understand they can refuse to provide it if it's their own moral decisions, it leaves a lot of people, especially potentially in smaller countries where they don't, where they have less resources, it leaves them very stuck. The fact that it's a medical procedure and it's a medical decision that it goes off of a potential doctor's ethics and morality not to provide it at the same time when they're supposed to be a medical practitioner, a general practitioner who's supposed to provide medical support, be it normal, reproductive rights, any other medical provisions that they're supposed to provide, and just based on their moral and ethical considerations, they don't have to do it. It can leave a lot of women in a tough place if they're in a county that doesn't have a lot of resources.
One final question, Heather, if you don't mind, because I can't answer it. It might seem a little unfair of me to ask, but I obviously can't answer it. From a female perspective, what does it feel like to have legislation like this being considered and voted on by a mostly male legislature?
I suppose quite a backhanded way is how I'd approach it, is if you are against abortion and you don't believe in abortion, nobody's forcing you to have one. The fact that there's people making these decisions who may not have the facilities to have an abortion, who it may not even affect, who they may not even have to deal with an unexpected pregnancy. The fact that people may think that they can limit someone else's availability to receive medical care, which is essentially what it is at this day and age. It is medical care, whatever anyone's moral or ethical beliefs is. It just doesn't make sense. It's almost like the government are acting in a paternalistic way and almost infantilising the woman on their decisions about their own bodies.
Okay. Any discussion we have is going to is not going to sit well with some people. We'll sit well with others. We realise that. And that's why we want to open our lines to anybody who wants to contribute. But we thank you for your contribution, Heather, on the Neil Prendeville Show this morning.
No problem. Thank you so much.